Live Better and Longer with the Fitness Show, hosted by fitness expert, author, and TV personality, Fitz Kohler. She'll tell you why diets are dumb, supplements are snake oil, and the truth about how you can earn a lean, hard, pain-free, and athletic body. Now for our favorite bossy blonde, Fitz Kohler.
Hi team, I'm Fitz Kohler, your very happy race announcer and fitness expert from fitness.com, and welcome to the Fitness Show. This is part two of my extraordinary interview with both Mike Riley, the voice of Iron Man, and Rudy Novotny, the other half of Team Noisy, my favorite race announcer, and our topic, race announcing bloopers, because believe it or not, things don't always go as planned. And I've asked the gentleman, I said, please share some of your stories. And we've just been having so much fun. If you didn't hear part one, I recommend you go back, listen to part one, episode one of the race announcing bloopers with Mike and Rudy, and then jump into this episode. And it's just damn good. The stories in part two, possibly even more fun than stories in part one. I don't know. You be the judge. Listen and let me know what you think.
What do you got, Fitz? You've been a little light on this sharing here. What else you got?
Well, I was just thinking about us roaming around the finish line. And one of my favorites, I'll go back to Buffalo, where I don't know what I was doing. I was just doing the finish line shoot thing as I do. And our race director, Greg Weber, ran over to me. My shoe was untied. So he gets down in front of me to tie my shoe, and the whole crowd loses their mind. Proposing.
No way.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's good.
Oh, so cute. And then there's actually a couple of pictures. It's adorable. He's down on bended knee, and I've got tilting my head back laughing with the big buffalo horns on. It's precious. It was so cute. So cute. Oh my gosh. Okay. So that's one. And then, you know, we're so politically correct. We serve everybody equally, but I had an experience in, I'm not actually going to even say the location, cause I don't want to out this person they're very out themselves, but it's a half marathon, a 5K, a 10K, a very busy finish line. And so, you know, we're not just looking at names. We're looking at people. What are they wearing? Do they have, are they representing a running club or a special cause, or do they have a cute skirt on? Or, you know, we just want to add enrichment to all the things we're saying. So it's eyes and ears. We're tasting people practically. And so at some point during this finish line, I get a person comes over to my stage and yells at me something I never heard before. This is about 7 years ago this thing happened. And this person says, "I don't appreciate you misgendering me at the finish line." And I looked and my eyes bugged out and I said, "What? I don't appreciate you misgendering me at the finish line." And again, I looked and the person had a bun in her hair and a skirt. And I just was confused. And I said, "What did I say?" And she said, she goes, "You said, good job, handsome runner." So I was looking, thinking, did I say that? I don't remember saying good. I mean, I've certainly called people beautiful and gorgeous and handsome and all the flattering words I can muster up. I look at this person, I'm thinking, did I call you handsome? And then I look at the running shirt and there's a logo. It's something like Hanson's Running Club.
Yeah, Hanson's. Brooks.
Pace team. And so as she's staring at me so pissed off, I looked and I said, "Is there a chance?" I said, "Good job, Hanson's runner." And then she just died. Instantly, she went from wanting to kick my butt to, "Oh my God, I'm so sorry. I'm hypersensitive. I shouldn't have done that. I'm so sorry." Just melted down. And so I'm having this moment with this person. Again, there wasn't security to prevent her from coming and reading me the riot act. And so I said, "Well, it's okay." So she apologized a bunch and went away. And I thought about her for about 30 seconds. I just took a moment of silence. You know, sometimes you can let the race have a sound of its own anyways. You don't have to talk the whole time. And so I just thought, oh, that poor person, that poor person needs a friend. And this is way before the transgender thing was popular and real in the conversation. So I called out her name. She had given me her name. I said, "Back to the finish line stage." And so she came back and I gave her my business card. I said, "Listen, I feel like you just might need me sometimes. So if you do, here's my number, my email, keep in contact. And so she has reached out to seek out fitness advice, and we've stayed friends. She's a very nice person, but that was confusing. That was a very weird moment.
But you had a good recovery. I mean, that, yeah, that's, exactly. You know, and you end up with a new friend.
That's right. Well, this is what bothered me about the situation is, okay, let's say I did say, good job, handsome runner. Well, at least that's a nice word. I mean, I don't think anyone could stand around that finish line and not think I'm one of the top 10 nicest people on earth. I mean, everything I say is there to make people feel special, feel accomplished, feel congratulated. There's not a mean word ever out of my mouth. And so I just thought, that was kind of ugly that she couldn't recognize, oh, that's a good person. Maybe the good person had made a mistake. But yeah, it was a very interesting interaction. But yeah, we're friends now and she's great. She seems to be doing well. So all's well that ends well, right?
Yeah, exactly. I just go ahead, Rudy.
No, I was going to say, I'm ready to drop my proverbial bomb.
Okay, let's hear it.
Oh, good.
Because it kind of nice tag along. At the Big Sur International Marathon 2014, we're having a great day. Just a race that, of course, Fitz and I are headed there this week, and just one of my favorites. I'd run it many, many, many times before announcing it. Now I have the honor to announce the thing. I just couldn't get better than that. And hey, we're race announcers. We're also human beings. We make mistakes. We try to make as few as possible and as few as possible that anybody can see or hear, but they do happen. So we've got the lead men are in, very few people in yet. Our elites are in. Matter of fact, Michael Wardian beat Adam Roach that year. Adam Roach, five-time winner of the Big Sur Marathon. So anyway, people are coming in and I am on the lookout for the lead female athlete. Do you remember this, Fitz?
I do. Keep going.
So I got my binoculars out. I'm looking. Oh, here she comes. Pink tank top, ponytail swinging in the breeze. And I'm like, here she comes, ladies and gentlemen, the female winner of the Big Sur International Marathon, Vincent Howe. What? Oh, Fitz, I'm going down. I trekked down there. They're just sitting there getting a cup of water right in the. Why are you wearing a man's bib? And I was so fixated.
Yeah.
On, you know, really. Beautiful, very thin face, very lean body, shocking pink, beautiful ponytail, beautiful hair. Why are you wearing a man's bib? I'm going to have you disqualified. Literally. I mean, I said those things. And all I'm getting back is...
That's a look of confusion. For those of you who are just listening, Rudy's got the deer in
his. Sorry, that's right.
That was a good look of confusion, too.
He didn't say a word. He's just looking at me. And he's like, I'm still fixed on it. That's a man's bib. and then all of a sudden it kicked in. It's a man's bib because that's Vincent Howe. And I would just.
Who told you that?
I was so fixated on it being a fan. It just dissipated. It's Rudy. It's one of our guys. He ran 2:54, had a great race. And then when it all came together, I found him. I just apologized. And he was no problem. No problem. No, don't even think about it. We're good. He's a super high level eye surgeon in Orange County. He has a foundation called Run for Vision. He runs with limited vision people and blind. He's a guide. Right. He's been all over the world doing this. He's one of the most amazing, generous, just sweet people. The guy was, he was so kind. And I was just, you know.
So are you saying so he does like you, so everything's cool?
Exactly. And then it kind of got worse because he was top three in his age group, and I'm doing the awards.
Oh,
and
geez,
I'm on the 35 to 39. Oh no. Not again. And once again, he was beyond polite, beyond understanding, and we ended up having, you know, a friendship from there. I've seen him since. I've seen him run. He ran a lot of Disney events, a lot of the Disney events I was calling. And he'd always, I'm not Tinkerbell. Oh, if you know what, I would really be very, very pleased and appreciative if that's as bad as it gets for me.
Yeah.
Microphone. Oh man.
I had an instance where I told an athlete over the, you know, speaker system, I'll make sure you're DQ'd. And I would never do that because, one, I don't have the authority unless I saw something that was so blatant I could tell the race director.
Right.
But he's coming into the finish line and Ironman Arizona. And as he's coming in, he's waving and he's kind of grabbing the top of his running shorts or whatever he had on. And as he comes in, he slows down and he starts to turn around and I'm going, he's going to moon the crowd.
Oh, no.
I can see it coming.
Oh no!
Because his hands went around towards the back and he starts to turn. I go, no, no, no. Disqualification right now. And he kind of looked up at me like, you know what? I don't care. I'm going to do it anyway. Cause he probably had his mindset on it for all 140 freaking miles out there all day long. And I did one more time. I said, I did it like a loud father or coach pissed off at the team. I go, don't you dare. I mean, I just laid it out there and the whole crowd just went silent. And then he just kind of sheepishly went through the finish line and he didn't do it. I'm thinking there's like 6 and 8 year old kids here and there's mom and dad. And I don't need this guy showing
not
us
okay.
His rear end at the finish line. And so that's when I used the DQ card and spoke like a mad dad. Because the crowd went silent. I go, ooh, I think maybe I was pretty loud right there. Cause I just let it loose. Don't you dare. You know?
I would respond to that. I would definitely do whatever. I would stop doing whatever I was doing that made you say that for certain. So on the people that don't belong in the finish line. So Rudy and I are real sticklers for no bandits. And we tell people at the beginning of the race, whether we're alone or we work together, we always say this is a bandit-free event. If you are not registered, you're more than welcome to go for a run. Just go somewhere else. If you run on our course, you are stealing resources. You are stealing security, emergency services from those who have registered and paid. And specifically, you do not belong in the finish line. No babies, no grandmas, no grandpas, no mucking up somebody else's finish line photo with your family and their backpack and their sandals. And it's unsafe for somebody who's gone a distance to try to maneuver around your family. So anyways, when we see bandits come through the finish line, no bib, no name, Rudy, he sees them and he goes and gets them. He's like, I'll be back. And he gets off the finish.
I love it.
And he leans forward. It's this funny position. If you're not watching this, I'm so sad for you. But he leans forward and then he hooks his fingers back and up. And I call him the bandit seeking missile. But he gets real huffy, shoulders forward, leaning into it. And then he's like, where's your bib? No medal for you. Because, of course, the volunteers don't know any better. They're going to give a medal to anybody out there, right? And Rudy's like, give that medal back right now. And they just saunter off sad. But it's hilarious. It's
Rudy, you got balls because it's a wonder you haven't been hit more.
True. Yeah, I take it personally. Don't do that. The worst one, I know we're getting long on time here, but the worst one fits you. It was the LA Marathon. Yes. And it wasn't a bandit, but it was a similar situation where we're saying, only, you know, the only one to come in here is the registered runner. This woman is coming with the child. She's got the child in her arms.
No. She had a stroller.
She had a stroller. You're right. I'm sorry.
Someone passed it through our barricades.
Right. And it's not a racing stroller. So it wasn't one of those gigs, and racing strollers weren't allowed anyway. And so she's coming in. Fitz is laying it on her. No children. You know what she does? She takes the stroller and about 20 yards ahead of the finish line, just puts the kid on, still on the course, by the bicycle racking, and just leaves the kid, finishes.
No way.
Yeah. Fitz is like, security. She's like losing her mind, which I understood. This woman was insane. I wish I could out her right now. I wish I had her name.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. And that's probably, probably a lot harder to bandit an Ironman, but some of our marathon finish lines are like free for alls. There's homeless people, there's bicycles, there's roller skates. And we so desperately love these athletes. It's not our job to protect them, but it kind of is, knowing what we know. Of course, it's everybody's job to protect those athletes. And if we can use our voice or be on the course and shoo people off and say, you need to exit now, I think it's our obligation to do it.
Yeah, the Ironman finish line is probably 100 yards of barricaded, nobody can get to it. And then to get to it, you got to come off the run course into that chute. So it's pretty, but I've had some come in, but I'd see him soon enough, or somebody would say something, like guy coming into the finish line of an Ironman on a beach cruiser.
Yeah.
And right away, because I've got two or three right below. And we had something I would say, I wouldn't say security or anything. Yeah. Every race, I had something else. It may be the word like dinner, and they'd come out of their shoes, jump them, stop them. So, which was great. But then I really had a bandit at a race. We'd have 8 or 10 come at a time, and then you'd have a gap because they, that long of an event, they just weren't always together. And I'm watching, and all of a sudden, here comes this, Australian mixed shepherd. Here comes this dog, comes around the corner, bounces on through, and he's coming in. And so everybody's seeing, and they start cheering for it, and the dog's looking around, but still coming to the finish line. So I go, oh, it's a doggone good-looking finisher. And you can go much faster on four legs. And I bet you it didn't take much to feed him at the aid stations. And I hope we had, I'm just trying to think of all these jokes. And then as he's coming, he just keeps coming through. So I said to volunteers, I go, you got a dog coming. And one volunteer yelled up, that's a terrible thing to say. I go, no, it is a dog. I thought I was talking about an athlete, like you got a dog coming.
Real dog.
And finally, they tried to stop it, but it just went in between everybody and just kept going. So that was the only four-legged finisher I ever saw in. I did say something like, try to put a medal on it. And they couldn't even stop the thing,
So cute. Okay, guys. So I know one of us is on a tighter deadline, so I'm going to push things towards the end, but I have some kind of speed round questions. So I know poor Rudy. Again, if you're not watching this, poor Rudy is real.
Rudy, we don't have speed minds anymore.
That's exactly.
I've got to think about something for 3 days. And I go, okay, I'll say that,
Thanks, Mike. Thank you. You're very kind.
Okay, so the first question is, what is your dorkiest habit? So mine, for example, is I almost always have the cowbell. And so sometimes I shake the microphone and I put the cowbell up to my face to speak. And that's very dorky. And I always hope nobody watched me doing that. So what is your kind of dorky thing you do when you're working?
Being a dorkish person, there's a lot of... I mean, I have a rally towel the final few hours of the finish line, and I always put it over my shoulder. And it's in my right hand, it's over my shoulder, and then I'll switch the microphone and go like this. Oh my God, I lost my rally towel. And I'd say, see my rally towel? And people go, Riley. I go, oh yeah, yeah. It's on this shoulder to start swinging it again. And I do it like over and over. I go, I'm thinking, okay, is something happening upstairs? I can't find my rally towel's on what shoulder. I can't figure out where the darn thing's at. So that's probably right. dorkiest thing I've done.
That's pretty dorky. That's pretty dorky. And that was what I was aiming for. Dorky. Rudy, what you got?
You know, I can't think. I'm sure there's lots of dorky. I can't come up with anything other than I'm just OCD. So OCD that when I get set up, the cough drops have to be here. Ah. The cowbell has to be here. My water has to be here. The book's got to be there. Everything has to be right in its place. And then I'm working with my favorite co-announcer who nothing really needs to be in any place. So she'll come up and she'll move all this stuff. And I'm like, nah, what are you doing? And I swear she does it on purpose.
Perhaps. Maybe.
I agree. I've got that, you know, because I'd have two laptops and I'd want my binder, you know, kind of everything there. Believe it or not, I write notes during people come up and say, you know, my mother's having her birthday or that. Right, so I thought of the, honest to God, I had post-it notes. Once I write something down, I remember it. So I'd have all this stuff all over the place. But it was Iron Man Tulsa. And somebody at the finish line said, oh, my God, they're serving unbelievable milkshakes at the end of the finish line. I go, what? I've never heard that before. That's fantastic. I go, can you give me one? I'll take a vanilla one. And it was like, I don't know, 6 o'clock and it was hot and long day and they bring it up. I thought it was gold. I take it and a straw in it and I go, and it was kind of thick so I couldn't suck it out through the straw. So I took the plastic top off, sat it down, bringing somebody in, go to pick it up. And it just goes over the two laptops, over everything. And I like reacted like, oh my God. And the sound people looking up like, Riley, what happened? I go, come here. And they come up and they looked at it and go, that's your problem. And they went, I go, it's my laptop. And I'm going like this with my keypad and everything. Trying to clean everything up. But they came up and they'd taken pictures of it. Oh, this. And every once in a while, I'll get a picture, you know, a text from somebody like, how's your milkshake? It was all over. Rudy, you'd have died. Oh, see, it was all over everything.
Oh, man, that sounded so, I mean, a milkshake, really? That's, oh, that's so hot. Heaven.
Yeah.
Oh, that's so good.
I know.
Milkshake Mike now. That's it.
Yeah, right.
Well, that's actually one of the great perks is people bringing us niceties while we're working. And the sponsors, if there's a finish line, something, and they're like, you got to have it, knowing that if we have a bite or a sip, we're going to say nice things about them.
Yeah. Well, one of my first times at Ironman Australia, they said, Mike, you want a pie? I go, this is, I'm announcing there. I go, no, I don't need a pie. All right. We come back about an hour later and come on, we're going to bring you a few pies. I'm going, and I kind of ignored them. Well, the pies in Australia are little, what is it you have in a bowl? They used to serve them at Marie Callender's, Rudy. They're built like little pies.
Just like little, they're like little tiny pies. Like little tiny muffins, like meat pies.
Yeah, but
something.
They're meat pie. Yeah.
That's what
it was. And I go, what's it? Well, that's a pie. So I ate it and they had like chicken. I go, these are so good. I'm thinking, why didn't I say something earlier? You know? But yeah, that Australia, New Zealand, I'd gain weight at that race, both of them. They just kept bringing, okay, guys. And my most favorite thing at night was kind of salty French fries because you're just, by then, you're depleted. Yeah. I'm done with gels and candy. But they'd bring French fries, and oh, my gosh, that's the best. Especially, you know, 10, 11 o'clock at night.
Oh, my gosh. I once had someone bring me, so people always try to bring me beer. And even though I would love to have it, I just say, listen, if this is how I am without the beer, imagine how severe it would get if you gave, I cannot have beer until I'm done working. But someone brought me what I thought was maybe like cherry juice or something, or anyways, I took a sip of this thing on the stage at the finish line. It wasn't one that was well protected, so people could see damn well what I was doing. And it was beet juice. And ew. I full-blown spit this thing out. I was like, bleh, in front of everybody. And it was a sponsor, too. I mean, I felt so bad. But someone might have warned me. They were giving me beet beverage. Ugh. No, thank you. Okay. My dorkiest announcing injury has been tendonitis from cowbelling too much. I actually went to physical therapy for tendonitis of the forearm. What are your weird announcing injuries?
Well, Mike can't beat falling out of the, right. That's
tailbone.
He's already, yeah. I think mine would just be tight arm from just having the microphone and not, you know, not moving it around enough. You know, that would definitely be a marathon, you know, marathon right. event, you know, eight hours plus, 9 hours, LA marathon, 10 hours plus. Yeah, just, you know, really sore. But I remember your cowbell.
Oh my God.
Tendonitis.
Yeah, my physical therapist was like, I've never seen this before, but okay. Sure. Now, what do you use to preserve your voice or heal it once it's overtaxed? Mike?
I'm big on honey and nothing cold, you know, later warm drinks. And the big thing on the voice for me was the breathing. You know, I was taught early on how to breathe through the diaphragm, through some acting classes and stuff. So letting it loose, especially when, you know, I'd get into the 12th, 13th, 14th hour and trying to keep the same. And I always did, you know, it's just people could say, I could hear a little in your voice. But yeah, you'd be on a microphone for that long.
That's
but
right.
But that seemed to always do it. I, you know, knock on wood and thank my higher power, I never lost my voice at an event. The next day, I've woken up saying it's going to be hard getting through the awards because we'd always do them the next day.
Oh, that's right. That's
you know,
right.
And so, but as the day went on, it would get better. That's what I noticed, though, the last few years. It would take, gosh, it would take 3-4 days for my voice to recover where it used to take, you know, 12, 13 hours. Or after I flew home, it was back. So I, you know, I'm not in my 40s anymore, and it would just take a little longer for it to recover. And that was one of the things I said, I got to cut down a little because I didn't want to not be able to speak to my grandkids, or, you know, Rose wouldn't mind it if I lost my voice. But besides that, it was, I just didn't want to, you know, have this old raspy voice when I get older. So. Because I beat it up pretty good over the years.
What about you, Mr. Novotny?
Hall's Honey Lemon Cough Drops. Thank you very much. Sugar-free, and which, of course, you know very well. And I'm sorry, did you hear that, Hall's? Sponsorship?
Yeah.
That's right.
Give me a deal. Give me free cough drops. Come on. Help me. But, boy, Mike, Fitz and I have had some really long days. Nothing like your Ironman adventures. And I frankly can just barely imagine being on the mic that long. And, you know, so our hats, a tip of the hat to you for being able to do that. And I've had, and particularly in the earliest days, earliest years of announcing, just putting too much out there, just, you know, just,
yeah.
Just not being in control. And the next day, just and as you mentioned, you've got awards next day. I didn't, you know, my awards, if any, were that day, so I was okay. But the next day, just not being able to talk. And
Ironman Arizona, which was always the last one of the year in November, and the dry desert heat is the worst thing on my voice.
Ooh.
Kona was fine; it was hot and humid all day, and I love the heat, so. You know, in the heat, but when it was dry. So the next morning was the awards. I got through them. I sounded terrible. And I drove over there and I say bye to everybody. I jump in the car. And my tradition was about 15 miles out of Phoenix. There's an In-N-Out Burger. And I'd always stop and get a nice, juicy In-N-Out Burger. If you're not from here, in California, Arizona, you don't know what they are. Greatest burger there is. So anyway, I pull into the drive-through line and I get up to the speaker. Hi, what would they have? And I go, and nothing came out. It's the first time ever. I go, oh, number one. And I couldn't.
She's like, you pervert, get out of here.
Right, yeah, get out of here.
I can't hear you. I didn't know what to do. It's cars behind me, cars in front of me.
Oh, man.
So I didn't say the cars are going, and I took off. Oh, and I'm in the line. Oh, I get to the window. Are you the guy that wouldn't say anything? I go, and I pointed. I go, he goes, oh, I'm sorry. What do you want? And he pulled up a menu. I go, number one. You want onions? No, no. It was like I was doing a mime. Fries? And I like my fries crispy, well done. I go, burnt. Oh, well done. Okay. And what do you want to drink? You want a Coke? And no. He goes, you want a shake? Yeah. What flavor? And I point to my skin like white. He goes, oh, vanilla? Okay. And that's how I got my no voice. It was the worst.
So funny.
That burger tastes good. I'll tell you that.
I'll bet.
So I'm a hot tea girl. My hot tea helps me, although the decaf Diet Coke really works wonder too. Okay, final question. What is the best thing anyone's ever said to you about your voice? What it sounds like, what it means to them? You can go either route. Rudy.
The best thing anybody's ever. Well, you know what? I'm gonna move away from that. You know, the best compliment that I've ever gotten, and I've gotten it very consistently, and it's become extremely meaningful to me, is that people have said one of the qualities of what I do that affects them so much is that it calms them down when they hear me. And, you know, when they know it's me and they hear me in the morning, it just calms their nerves and it helps them settle. So, if that's as good as it gets, that's really fine by me.
I love it. Mike?
Yeah, people would go to a race and go, like, you know, everybody likes you, Mike. I go, yeah, I'm telling everybody after 140.6 miles when they're drooling and leaning how good they look. So, of course, they like me. But on the voice thing, I've had a lot of beautiful things said to me. But the one that is constant is, Mike, I thought about your voice through my 6-8 months of training, and your voice brought me to the finish line, and it made me feel like I could do anything I want to do in life. So thank you for that.
Nice.
You know, we don't know what our voices really sound like. And I still get that today. People come out, just talk to me, your voice. I go, what do you mean? You know, my voice is my voice, and I think it's because of the inflection and the moment in time at the end of an Ironman event where people were probably told they couldn't do it even by loved ones. And all of a sudden when they get to that finish line and I'm able to tell the world what they are, people come up to me 20 years later and go, I know exactly what you said to me. I know the song that was playing and I know the feeling, and that feeling's carried me through life, through hard times. Wow. So yeah, it's been humbling because I never ever thought when I picked up a microphone, it would ever be anything like that. Like life changing and life altering and people being able to cope with death in the family because they heard my voice. I'm going, what are you kidding me? But so that's what it's like. That's what it's been.
I love it.
That's beautiful. Yeah.
When I was a kid, we were cassette tapes, right? You'd record yourself doing whatever. And my voice just made me cringe. I loved the rest of me. I was happy with Fitz Kohler, but I just couldn't stand my voice. And so the fact that people say your voice sounds like home, you know, I run for it when I can hear your voice, you know, I'm there. Or, you know, or when they're at a race that's not mine, they're like, it was awful. I didn't have your voice. It's like, wow, somebody likes this thing I was trying to get rid of for so long. But it's all about connecting. We love those people, don't we?
We do. They, you know, it is that the hardest part about not being at as many events is missing the other family.
Yeah.
My other family. I get to go back to Lake Placid this year. You probably heard because.
Oh, I didn't. That's great.
It's the 25th anniversary and I was there first in 99 and did every race. So Ironman called and said, let's put something together. And I'm going back and it's been kind of crazy because I'll do updates and stuff on social media and people just like, oh my God. And so it'll be fun to go back. And that, of all the places I've been in the world, that and New Zealand are my two most favorite Ironmans, along with Kona. But going back to Lake Placid, because it's a beautiful community, is going to be a thrill this summer. Can't wait.
That's awesome.
But people, I'm saying to everybody, I don't know if I can do that 19 hours shit. Are you kidding me? I gotta, because they know when I get on a microphone there, they kind of want to hear me say those four words. So I go 98% of the day. And so I'm thinking, I'm really going to work out hard and do some long bike rides and get in great shape and not drink alcohol till like maybe a night before the race, you know?
Well, what a treat. What a treat for those folks who thought their opportunity to have you welcome them home was over.
Yeah, it'll be fun.
Yeah. I feel like there might be more opportunities spring up over the years.
Yeah, we'll see. No, yeah, I never said the words retirement. Everybody else did. I just said, I need to take a year here, you know, and recalculate things.
Okay. Well, listen, guys, I don't want to hold you anymore. I love you both so much. This has been so much fun. This has been even better than I hoped it would be. So,
well, Rudy and Fitz, I have to tell you, you two are an institution, and in the best sense of the word, because what both you do, it's not easy to work with other people, but to be able to work with another person and have that portray the passion that you have for the runners and the events and the race directors who we all, you know, hold dear to our hearts. It's admirable. And what you do is something you should be very, very proud of. And I'll tell everybody right now, you're underpaid. Definitely underpaid.
Mike Riley, ladies and gentlemen.
Mike, thank you. Yeah,
you are absolutely underpaid, as I always believe we all have been for some reason. But what you've done and what you've created and what you've built, you should be very proud, because it has enhanced the running industry over the last 12 years immensely. So congrats to both of you.
Thank you, Mike. Thank you.
All right, gentlemen, this is the part of the show where you look into the camera and you tell everybody to get to work. On the count of three, 1, 2, 3.
Get to work. Thanks, Mike.
Work is fun. You. Bye, guys.
Bye.
Love you. Take care. Thank you.
Care. They're amazing, right? How lucky am I? I'm so lucky. I'm so lucky to work with them. I'm so lucky to have them as friends and supporters. It's just, they're extraordinary and I love them so much. I tell the people I love that I love them, but I probably can't tell Mike and Rudy that I love them enough. So I hope you've enjoyed both episodes of Race Announcing Bloopers with myself, Mike Riley, and Rudy Novotny. We've had a lot of fun. Before you go, I'm going to do Song of the Week. That's right. We've got Song of the Week this time. Song of the Week was submitted by Mike Riley. And so once we were done with this conversation, I didn't keep them long because they had other things to do. I just wanted to get in all their stories. And once we got off the phone, I sent them an email and I said, tell me what song you recommend for my listeners to add to their playlist to help them do better when they're exercising. And so hopefully you heard Rudy's suggestion in the last episode, but we're going to go with Mike Riley's, and he picked the same decade that Rudy's favorite song or suggested song came from. Rudy went with David Bowie, Heroes, and that I think was released in 1977. Mike Riley kicked it back a little bit more, 1971, Baba O'Reilly, The Who, and another classic. And I asked Mike why The Who, and he said that this song was played when he was introduced at all of the Ironman ceremonies. So it's a great pump-up song, and he's excited about it. Once again, thank you for listening. If you haven't done so already, make sure you follow, connect with me on Instagram, Facebook, YouTube. That's at Fitzness. I also would love for you to stop by fitzness.com and let me know what you think. We've given my website a facelift, and your feedback matters. We can make changes. We are flexible. So if you see a glaring error or you see something that's difficult to finesse, let me know. Or if you love it, let me know. I take good feedback as well, just for the record. If you want to say something nice, you can say something nice. In fact, you can say it via a review wherever you listen to this podcast. That would make me super happy. And also, I'm going to be releasing this entire interview in video format on my YouTube page soon. So if you want to see Rudy and Mike and their adorable smiles as they tell their stories, then You can hunt this down there. And I think these stories are the kind of stories you can hear over and over and over again. If you haven't done so already, follow Rudy. He's on Facebook, Rudy Novotny. He's actually on Instagram, but he never posts. So yeah, he's not there yet on Instagram, but Mike is, and he's Iron Man Voice on Instagram. And I highly recommend you follow both of them. Just delightful human beings with a lot of cool insight and info and stories to share. And on that note, my mouth is apparently broken, so I'm going to let you go, but know that I love you. Know that I hope you're eating wisely and exercising often, getting quality sleep, removing the cranky people, and getting to work. Mwah!
Hi, this is Rudy Novotny, the voice of America's marathons. We all love how much running has benefited every aspect of our lives, so much so that most of us only wish we'd started sooner. Wouldn't it be wonderful to give the opportunity to children of today? Well, you can. The Morning Mile is a before-school walking and running program that gives children the chance to start each day in an active way while enjoying fun, music, and friends. That's every child, every day. It's also supported by a wonderful system of rewards, which keeps students highly motivated and frequently congratulated. Created by our favorite fitness expert, Fitz Kohler, Morning Milers across the country have run over 2 million miles and are having greater success with academics, behavior, and sports because of it. The Morning Mile is free to the child, free to the school, and is inexpensively funded by businesses or generous individuals. Help more kids get moving in the morning by visiting morningmile.com. Champion the program at your favorite school or find out more about sponsorship opportunities. That's morningmile.com. Long may you run.